Woke up this morning and saw the markets were up, and I went through the routine that I normally do to determine if this makes sense, right? And three words popped into my head: continuation, elevation, and expectation. So why was gold up? Why were miners up?
Welcome to the Morning Markets and Metals with Vince Lancey, where each day he brings you the precious metals and financial news to get you ready for your day. And now, here's Vince.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Vince Lancey. And today's morning meeting, we'll be discussing, we're going to be discussing gold, gold's relationship with the miners, what the market is doing right now based on today's call and yesterday's market moves. And we have a little treat for you. We have some insights from, or just cursory insights from Zoltan Pozsar on the bond market, which has direct relevance to the gold market. And we'll look at a couple charts as well. So let's get started on that. We'll leave you here for now. Gold is up $25. Let's scroll up here. The dollar first is up 7 at 105.27. 10-year yield is 4.47, up 1 basis point. The S&P 500 is 52.29, up 13 handles. The VIX is 12.79, up slightly. Gold is up $25 and change at 23.71. Silver, 28.56, up 24 cents. These are off their highs. So we had an explosive, very strong move last night coming into U.S. hours. So this is the pullback. We'll see what happens after, say, 8:30. Copper is the strongest, up over 7 cents at 4.64. Interesting. WTI hovering $80, up 20 cents, 22 cents. Crypto, mixed, but not especially crazy. 63,000 and change, up 184 in Bitcoin. And Ethereum is 3,032, down 4. Platinum, palladium continue to do their dance. Both are trading at around 990. Platinum, palladium is 988, up 21. Platinum is 990, 986, 988, back and forth, up $12. So no metal is being left behind in these moves right now. In grains, you have soybeans offered unchanged, corn bid unchanged, 1197, 446, respectively, and wheat is 652, continuing to rocket up 12 cents, almost 2%. Okay, so you can see the title there, Zoltan Pozsar weighs in on bonds. That's the bonus. That's what we're going to talk about a little bit in context of gold. We're also going to talk about gold itself and something that I noticed. Here's the homepage for Goldfix, and I think these are relevant stories. China becomes a member of the LBMA, and the thing that I thought was most important about that is it'll increase price transmission out of China to the West. And so the next 2 days, the market's up. So it's nice to be right immediately, although we don't expect that. And that's where the China price and growth story comes from. Hedge fund chief loses battle for $43 million in silver. Interesting free article for everyone. All right, Zoltan Pozsar weighs in on bonds. What are we going to talk about today? Well, in premium, we have a little bit of the Pozsar excerpt, and we have an ING report for gold. Now, that report is very good. It's very clean. It's a good explainer. And I would also say it's something you would show family members who are trying to figure out why gold's doing what it's doing. It's good. I'm going to talk about some gold charts today as well. All right, so here we are. Woke up this morning and saw the markets were up, and I went through the routine that I normally do to determine you know, if this makes sense, right? And three words popped into my head: continuation, elevation, and expectation. So why was gold up? Why were miners up? And yesterday I had made a comment that miners are taking their turn running now. Now gold will follow miners, which is what you want to see in a healthy market. Anyway, that semi-joke aside, here's where we are. We're in a continuation of all the secular trends that got this started and discussed in this space for the last 2 years. They're all still in place, right? Right. Mercantilism, anti-Goldilocks, all those little catchphrases that deglobalization, supply chains broken. It all starts with COVID, and then it blooms with the Ukraine-Russian war, okay? the problems that we have now are not going to heal overnight. All right. So there's a continuation. There's no ground being made the other way. There's just no trust left. Elevation. Well, elevation on two fronts, right? The last, I'd have to say, 2 weeks have shown a raised awareness of gold strength, and the reasons for it are spreading to other metals organically. So gold's up this far, this long, and isn't getting sold off. You're not seeing that end of the week headline, and gold gave back all its gains on the week. You're not seeing that. People are starting to, no matter, you can't repress something forever. You can do it for a very long time, but, you know, return of the repressed, return of the something that's kept down is usually very violent. And we haven't even seen violent yet. Just want to keep that in mind. The other elevation is a raised awareness of coming events, specifically the election and the BRICS summit. Now, I think that's on people's radar. Not everyone is looking at the same things, but everyone's thinking about it. When you get to about 180 days before an event, then the sharp people start to really think about something. When you get to 90 days, then the mainstream smart people think about it. When you get to 30 days, well, then you get the tourists. And when you get to 5 days, well, then you get the people that are going to lose money. Expectation. The market is sniffing out. The Fed cannot do anything without screwing up something. Recession is no longer an option politically or economically. They cannot have a recession. Thus, if the market crashes, he will ease. Powell is in a bad situation. Now, this is going to be very sympathetic to Powell and very unsympathetic to Yellen. So hear me out. Powell can't, forget about the politics of it. Powell can't ease. If he eases, stocks will ramp up further. If he eases, inflation will ramp up further. If he eases without having a recession, well, then he looks bad. Now, but if we do get a recession, he has to ease, because then he will be viewed as politically motivated, even if we don't have a market crash. So he's damned if he does, and he's damned if he doesn't. And I've noticed this for some time, but not really knowing why at all. So anyway, he cannot raise because he knows the economy is harshly bifurcated now. There's the haves and the have-nots. It's getting very, very, you know, split. The classes are getting even worse, you know. And if he does, half of the economy will collapse. Further, even if he could, he knows the Yellen Treasury will undermine his work and ease another way. Now, that's been my thought for about a month now, but I couldn't understand why it was my thought. Anyway, so that's where we are. We have a continuation of the secular trends, okay? We have an elevation of awareness. People are talking about it now. It's not going away. It's not going to go away overnight. It doesn't go away overnight, right? Expectation. The market itself is sniffing out that the Fed can't do anything without screwing up something, okay? And another expectation is that if he doesn't ease before the election, he will look politically biased. I really think he's not thinking about the politics, but I think he's going to ease. Let's put it that way. And we'll talk about that in a second. All right, so Pozar weighs in. Where is that? Here it is. All right. In February of 22, we have a link to that story we put up. Zoltan Pozar said, there are two ways to slow inflation: by hiking short-term interest rates or by forcing long-term rates higher. Concept meaning you raise short-term interest rates to stop inflation in its tracks. And then if long-term rates go higher, they act as a deterrence against long-term inflation. So long-term rates going higher, let's say you're at 10%. Well, you're not going to, you have something to fight inflation with. And so that makes inflation back off. It's kind of like causes a recession. And that's all part of the bond market. Now, yesterday or the day before, Zoltan Pozar said, quote, there is a reverse accord between Powell's Fed and Yellen's Treasury now. Now, he always talks that way. But what he means is they're not getting along. And we have he that's part of the 9 points he made at the bottom. 9 points he made as a preview to his own report, which we don't get. That's at the bottom. But let me try and give you a couple words on what this means, because it's very relevant for gold. He does talk about gold as well, right? You cannot kill inflation expectations with a flat yield curve. You must give expectations of future higher rates in order to stifle fears of reigniting inflation in the future. And you cannot do that by raising short-term rates. Therefore, Powell's done raising rates. Won't stop inflation in the long term, and it certainly won't help the economy in the short term. You must offer people deferred higher rates for long-term commitment to markets. Otherwise, why would I put my money in something at 5% for 30 years? Why would I loan money to the government for 30 years for 5% when I could put it in a money market for 5%, or put it in stocks, or put it in gold now? All right. So what does this mean? Well, it means that Yellen and Powell are not working together. It may look like they're working opposites, and it may look like they're working opposites intentionally, but I think there's a little disharmony there. So my point is, Yellen is destroying us. The bond market must crater, ironically, the bond market must crater somewhat in order for people to find a value yardstick in stocks, and therefore an opportunity cost to invest short term. Until that happens, gold will continue to take market share as an alternative yardstick to bonds, not just globally, domestically. To bring it back to expectations, next week at the street level, there's a growing consensus that the CPI will be very soft, which will be bullish for all assets that expect Powell to ease. And Powell was very confident in his most recent FOMC, saying that he thought inflation will be back to 2%. So I want you to think that everything is going to rally if CPI is soft next week. And gold is discounting that. So the question is, for me, is gold too high or yields too low? And the answer is yields are too low. If the Fed eases, I suspect you're going to see gold rally and stocks rally and the dollar sell off and bonds not rally as much as they normally do. I don't know. Okay, that's pretty much it. What I do want to go to next, and here's the ING report. Very, very good for people that are trying to figure this out, right? And we have a little bit of Zoltan's intro to his notes there. I want to move now to the stock market GDX versus gold itself. So for this part of the conversation, I've put up pretty much my metals watch list in the macro. The chart you're looking at right there is the bar, the candle is the gold 1 week chart, and the orange line is GDX. Now, if you look at the GDX over a time frame going back to, this is COVID right here, the beginning of onset of COVID, you can see that the GDX on this chart tended to overperform right after the stimulus hits, right? Juniors were leading during this. There was a lot of assorted nonsense. The Fed started tightening in here, and we got hit a lot harder. The miners got hit a lot harder than the metal itself, right? In here, there's a little joke, and during this time frame, various funds, died and suicided. They were puking. So if you look at this chart and you say to yourself, how much higher can the GDX go relative to gold? Well, that much higher. That's a lot. Okay, just that's a chart, right? Or gold could collapse. I don't think so. But if you start looking at earnings per share and you start looking at revenues that they make based on this price of gold at 2100, 2200, there's a lot of upside. Now I'm going to show you a couple charts to give you the conservative, reasonable, and ludicrous, optimistic, we'll call it. All right, this is the extremely optimistic chart. And the optimistic chart shows that headed into COVID, right, miners were above. It bottoms during COVID parallel, right? Here's your miners, right? All right, so now when you look at it this way, with current prices of gold, the GDX, it's alone, the GDX, we're not even talking about juniors here, right? The GDX is should be at 42, right? Next chart, right? We're going to call that, call this the more reasonable chart, right? The more reasonable chart shows overbought, oversold. Look at how ridiculously oversold it is, right? 46. There's really not much of a change, okay? Last chart. Now, this is the chart that says, that starts with during the COVID response when miners were overperforming. Well, let's just say they weren't overperforming. Let's say they were properly performing and they've been underwater ever since. If that's the case, then GDX goes to 48. So between 44 and 48 is the value for GDX on a chart relative to where gold is right now. Now, you know, multiply that by two times in terms of a percentage change when you're looking at things like silver and what have you. All right. Let's pull up a couple gold charts so you can just get an idea. So this is going to be the weekly asset versus the GDX. So there's gold versus the GDX. I don't have time to go through all the other ones. Silver versus the GDX. Copper versus the GDX. Platinum versus the GDX. Well, that shows you how undervalued platinum is. Or I could just drop this whole chart a little bit lower. Palladium versus GDX. Well, okay. We're not playing that game. It's not the same kind of metal. Gold, silver versus GDX. Something to look at. Why would I look at that? It seems to be an opposite indicator, which makes sense because gold, silver, opposite way. GDX versus GDX. Well, seems to be highly correlated. But going back to the top of this, there's a continuation of what we know to be baked into the cake. And that cake is starting to come out of the oven. And that would be the expectations, or the elevation, I should say, the elevation of awareness that precious metals are the place to be, at least for part of your money. And the final one is the expectation of bigger problems down the road. Okay. I think the bond market's going to crap out. That's what I think. Not tomorrow, but I'm not worried about gold's rally until I see the bond market yield 8%. How's that? It may get volatile on the way there, but until bonds really crater out, echoing, I think, what something that Zoltan might have been implying. I'm not really scared about the gold market until I see the bond market crap out.
Thanks for watching this morning's Markets and Metals Update with Vince Lancey. Brought to you each day by Miles Franklin Precious Metals, where this week's special is 1 ounce gold Australian kangaroos for only $59 over spot. Gold Australian kangaroos are one of the coins coming from one of the six sovereign mints, and with the gold price pulling back recently, you can get your Australian kangaroos at only $59 over spot by emailing arcadia@milesfranklin.com or calling 833-326-4653. Please note that this video is not intended as legal, licensed financial trading advice and is to be used for informational purposes only. Please contact your financial advisor before making any decisions, and thanks for watching.